in just a few moments. We'll stand and sing a song to invite you to respond to the will of God, number 644, if you'd like to mark that in your book. And all things have been made ready and are convenient that you might put on Christ today. You've left the shepherd and bishop of your soul. It's our prayer that you'll return to faithfulness. It's my pleasure to be with you. We have visitors with us, and we're glad to see you. I encourage you to get your Bible and search the Scriptures with us. I have a happy message for us today, and that's the one that is projected on the wall before you. He included me. Song number 156 in this book is by that title, He Included Me. It says, I'm so happy in Christ today that I go singing along my way. Yes, I'm so happy to know and say, Jesus included me too. Gladly I read, whosoever may come to the fountain of life today. But when I read it, I always say, Jesus included me too. Ever God's Spirit is saying, come, hear the bride saying, no longer roam. But I'm sure while they're calling home, Jesus included me too. Freely come drink, words the soul to thrill. Oh, with what joy they my heart do fill. For when he said, whosoever will, Jesus included me too. Jesus included me, yes, he included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, he included me. Jesus included me, yes, he included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, he included me. We hear a lot about inclusion today. That's all embracing, isn't it? Has it occurred to you that the message of the gospel is a message of inclusion? Words like all, any, every, and whoever show this to be the case. The sermon that was preached by Peter to Cornelius and those that were with him in Acts chapter 10 was a sermon of inclusion. In Acts chapter 10 and in verse 34 and 35, Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The fact that God is no respecter of persons, and that in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness can be accepted with God, is a message of inclusion. And then down in verse 43, he said to him, that is Jesus, give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What a blessing that the Gentiles could be included in God's blessings. I'd like to emphasize some things from the Scriptures that call attention to the fact that he included me. The first thing I bring to your attention is the fact that all unrighteousness is sin. If all unrighteousness is sin, then there is no act of unrighteousness that's not sin. In fact, sin is defined in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17 as all unrighteousness. He said, all unrighteousness is sin. Well, I need to know what unrighteousness is then. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Now what he does is to list some acts of unrighteousness. He said, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. He said, none of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so when I learn what unrighteousness is, and all unrighteousness is sin, I see how that is inclusive. That whatever constitutes unrighteousness, nothing is excluded from that. It's sin. All unrighteousness is sin. The second thing I need to appreciate is the fact that the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. When the Apostle Paul turned his attention to the sinfulness of the Gentile world, in Romans 1 and verse 18, he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? How much ungodliness, Paul? How much unrighteousness? All, A-L-L, you might underscore that word. All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so, that's a message of inclusion. That is, God's wrath is vented toward those who engage or participate in ungodliness and unrighteousness. What does that mean? Whoever I am, doesn't make any difference. When I commit sin, when I commit an act of unrighteousness, what am I doing? I'm inviting God's wrath upon myself. That doesn't exclude anybody. No class of people. Doesn't make any difference what your race is, where you are in society, high or low. All unrighteousness is sin, and the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. A third thing, when I think about He included me, is the fact that all have sinned. In Romans 3 and verse 9, Paul said, "What then? Are we better than they?" Now, he just talked about they, the Gentiles, in chapter 1. And then we, in this context, being the Jews, in chapter 2, and he said, "No, in no wise." That is, the Jews are no better than the Gentiles. "For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one." Then in verse 12, he said, "They're all gone out of the way." Underscore the word all. "They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." In verse 23, he said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, guess what? When the Bible says all have sinned, all under sin, that includes me. He included me in that. I've sinned. I've transgressed God's law. I've committed acts of unrighteousness for which I need to be forgiven. And so He included me when He said that. All of us can say that, can't we? He included me. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 22, Paul, in his letter to the churches of Galatia, said, "But the Scripture hath concluded." Makes a good study. Scriptural conclusions. Sometimes we reach conclusions that aren't true. But the scriptural conclusions are true conclusions. What's the Scripture concluded? All under sin. That includes me. But the fourth thing I bring to attention is the fact that God will have all men to be saved. You see how this is a message of inclusion? Doesn't exclude anybody, does it? Covers all of us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul writing to Timothy said, "Of God our Savior, who will have how many to be saved?" All men to be saved. That's used in the sense of all mankind, male, female. Doesn't make any difference. Who you are, where you come from, what your background is, God will have all men to be saved. And so those who are interested in inclusion today, who have a lot to say about inclusion, need to hear this inclusive message, the fact that God will have all men to be saved. And who better to illustrate that than Saul of Tarsus and God's dealings with him? Remember who he was? He was in opposition to the Lord and His people. He, when Stephen was being put to death, was there holding the clothes and giving his consent. He was on his way to Damascus with warrants in hand to arrest those that were Christians, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem to be punished. He made havoc of the church, the Bible says. But in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Saul, who now is the Apostle Paul, had this to say: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He included Saul. And if he included Saul, he included me. But also, the Scriptures emphasize that God's love extends to whosoever. Do you know anybody that whosoever would omit or exclude? Whosoever. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Somebody says, you need to be more inclusive. You need to preach more inclusive messages. There are some who think that we don't believe in being inclusive. Have you ever read John 3:16? "I believe that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Do you believe that? And I don't know anybody that whosoever excludes or eliminates, do you? And so that's a message of inclusion. God's love extends to whosoever. And he included me in that. Aren't you thankful for that? But furthermore, when I think about how he included me, I'm reminded of the fact that his grace has appeared to all. In the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul penned, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men," that is, to all mankind. The word grace simply means favor. The scriptures speak of the favor of man toward his fellow man. But often the word grace is used of God's favor extended toward us. Not that we deserve it. Not that we can earn it. That's why it's sometimes called unmerited favor. Where would we be without God's grace? Without any hope, no expectation to be saved. For the Bible teaches, by grace are you saved. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 8. When I read passages like this, God's grace extended to all, I think about how he included me. You stop to think about that? He included me too. But furthermore, did you know that the Bible teaches Jesus died for every man? You might make a study sometime of things Jesus does not know. Are there some things the Lord doesn't know? Because I thought he knew everything. I tell you something he doesn't know. He doesn't know a single person for whom he did not die. Because he tasted death for every man. And that included me. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, Paul said of the love of Christ that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He died for all. You might underscore that in your Bible. I like the language of Hebrews 2 and verse 9, where it is reported, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for who?" For every man. He included me. Do you know who every would exclude? I say, you're not inclusive enough. How can you get any more inclusive than that? Taste of death for every man. There's no exclusion to that. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6 reports of Jesus, how that he gave himself a ransom for who? For all. He included me. If he gave himself a ransom for all, then he gave himself a ransom for me. Right? You know what a ransom is? Payment made for release of a prisoner. What was the payment made by the Lord? Himself. What more could the Lord give than himself? And who more for whom could he pay the price than for all? What a blessing to consider this message of inclusion. I tell you something else though, as you think about he included me. The gospel is for all. In the book of Matthew 28, Matthew's account of the Great Commission. Remember his words to the apostles? He said, "Go ye therefore and teach who? All nations." All nations. He included us in America. Nobody excluded from that. I'm included in all nations, and so are you. In Mark's account, in Mark 16, 15, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Somewhere in every creature, he included me. All the world. He could have said, "No, don't go over there, that part of the world. Don't go to those people." He included me. And I'm thankful that he did. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, when we have a birth announcement of the Savior Jesus, he said, "For unto you I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who?" All people. To who? All people. Isn't that impressive? In Luke 2 again, in verse 38, when the Lord was presented at the temple, Mary and Joseph, in accordance with the custom of the law of Moses, a woman by the name of Anna, a great woman, came in that instant. And the Bible says of her that she spake of him, that's Jesus, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Who'd she speak of Jesus to? All.
all.
Didn't leave anybody out, did she? Why? Why did she speak to all? Because he included me. And yet there are some we may not want to include. I'm glad he included me. In Luke 24, in Luke's account of the Great Commission, verse 47, he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among who? All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Paul's first chapter of his letter to the Romans, in verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to who? Everyone that believeth. Everyone. You see those words, all and everyone and every creature. He included me. You need to know that. You need to be impressed with that. You need to be thankful for that. That he included you. But also, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, I want you to take note of these words. Every man, when Paul said of Christ, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning who? Every man. And teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man. Three times he uses the words, every man. Do you know of a single person that would exclude? Every man needs to hear preaching. Every man needs to be warned. Every man has the right to be taught. And every man has the opportunity to be presented perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. There's not a single individual that doesn't have that opportunity. And so we all have the same opportunities. Sometimes when a certain passage is called to attention, people think they've been excluded. They're being singled out. No, they have the same opportunity everybody else does. Maybe you call attention to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, and a sermon's preached on drinking. And they feel like they're being singled out. No, they have the same opportunity that you and I have. Or you might preach a sermon on stealing. People feel like they're being singled out. That somehow you're just picking on thieves. No. They have the same opportunities all of us have. He included me. Every man. In addition to that, I turn your attention to the fact that all are commanded to repent. Numerous passages speak about that. In particular, in Acts 3, when Solomon preached a sermon at Solomon, Peter at Solomon's porch, Acts 3:26 says, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away who? Every one of you from his iniquities. Turn away who? Every one of you. That turning away from iniquities is repentance. Who has the opportunity to do that? Everyone. Now, in connection with that, Acts 17:30, Paul is at Athens, a little place called Mars Hill. And I want you to be impressed with his message of inclusion. He said, the times of this ignorance God winked at. They were superstitious and idolatrous people. In fact, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, his spirit stirred in him. And he had something to say about it. They had all these altars to various gods, and they even had one with the inscription to the unknown God, maybe if they had overlooked one somehow. And Paul had the task of making known to these idolatrous people the unknown God. And he made known to them that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere. You're a man somewhere. You're included in that. He included me in that. That's a message of inclusion. See? If all unrighteousness is sin, the wrath of God is against all unrighteousness. All have sinned. And all are commanded to repent. That's a message of inclusion. That includes me. I must repent. Right? Of sins that I've committed. I must turn from those. And sometimes when you deal with a specific act of unrighteousness or specific sin, there are folks that get their feathers all ruffled. They get all bent out of shape. They think you need to be more inclusive. He included me. He included all. He included everyone. when he said what he did in Acts 3:26, Acts 17:30. And in 2 Peter 3:9, how that Peter pointed out the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You know, there are those who thought, well, if the Lord hasn't come, he must not be coming. As if the passage of time has rendered the promise of his coming of none effect. He said he's not slack concerning his promise, but his long-suffering. Don't confuse slackness for long-suffering. Thank the Lord for his long-suffering, that he has some patience and forbearance. And he said he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, that's a message of inclusion. He wants you to repent. He wants me to repent. He included me in that. And when we're appealing to folks to repent, that's not being judgmental. That's not excluding somebody. That's not singling somebody out. That's a message of inclusion. You have the same opportunities all of us have. And you ought to be thankful for that. We ought to all be thankful for that. And that all are commanded to repent. I'll tell you something else about that. When I think about he included me and how this book is a book that is inclusive in its nature, with many respects, I think about how it is promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Again, I ask, do you know anybody whosoever would exclude? When in Acts 2 we have the first recorded gospel sermon. Folks confused the apostles being filled with the Holy Spirit with being filled with new wine. He said, these are not drunk as ye suppose. And he quoted from Joel 2 about a new day of divine revelation. He said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 2:21. And that's what they did in Acts 2. And they were pricked in the heart. They said, what shall we do? They were told, repent and be baptized. And the same day they were added unto the Lord. They called on the name of the Lord in that process. Hearing gospel preaching, believing it and obeying it. And again, in Romans 10, Paul emphasized that same idea when in verse 13 he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. I am privileged today to be in the company of a lot of people who've called on the name of the Lord. But I want to suggest to you that if you haven't done that, you have the same opportunity all of the others have. You're not excluded from that. He included you in that. He included me in that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've not done that, why not? Don't you want to be saved? You can be. But how do I do that? I'm not sure about how I call on the name of the Lord. Well, let's read a little bit more. Verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And so I need to believe. I must have faith. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says. And then he says, how should they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And so I have to hear in order to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, he says in verse 17. It's no wonder then in Acts 2, when Peter preached, the first thing out of his mouth was, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Acts 2:22. So I got to hear. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. He says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And so I must hear preaching. That causes me to believe. And then he said in verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I must hear the gospel preached. The gospel. It's gospel preaching that saves. 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2, Paul said that he declared unto them the gospel which he had preached, which they had heard, and by which they are saved. They are saved by hearing gospel preaching. And then verse 16, he said, they have not all obeyed the gospel. And so it's not enough to just hear and believe gospel preaching. I must obey it. It takes obedience. That's how I call on the name of the Lord, by hearing the gospel preached, believing that, and obeying the gospel. That's what they did on Pentecost. They heard gospel preaching, they believed the preaching, and they obeyed the preaching. When they were told, repent and be baptized, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, they obeyed the gospel that was preached. And thus they called on the name of the Lord. And he included me in that. I can do that as well. I have the same opportunity they had. But also, I recognize from the Scriptures that the Bible teaches all are going to be judged. Have you thought about that includes us? He included me in that. That I have an appointment with the judge of all the earth. In Romans chapter 2, Paul said in verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To who? To every man. That's inclusive. That includes you and me. 9 and 10 says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Can I expect to do evil and not receive tribulation and anguish from the Lord? To not be punished by the Lord? He said in verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respecter of persons with God. That's a message of inclusion. And so there's a judgment coming. There's a day of accountability coming. As Paul said in chapter 14 of the same letter, in verse 10, as they were judging each other, they need to learn that they're not the judge. We need to know that too. Some people are trying to play God. They're trying to judge their brother. I'm not the judge. He said, why dost thou set it not thy brother? Why dost thou judge thy brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand. And that includes me. I'm going to be there. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. You have knees, you have a tongue. He included me. My knees are going to bow, and my tongue's going to confess. He included me. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 also points that out. When Paul said, for we must all appear, all, before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That means I'm going to receive the things done in my body. He included me. And you're going to receive as well. But one thing else I want to point out to you, when I think about he included me, is the fact that all are invited to come. We know the passage well. We heard it just Wednesday night, I believe. Matthew 11:28. When Jesus said, come unto me who? All. All. I tell you something else the Lord doesn't know. He doesn't know a single person he didn't invite to come. All. Sometimes this is called the greatest invitation. We extend invitations. Sometimes they're not, and most of the time probably not to all, right? To everybody? All. Think about who has invited us. The Lord Himself. You know anybody greater than the Lord? You know there are some great people in this world that they've never invited me to anything, have they, you? Personally? You got a personal invitation from the President of the United States? Maybe you have. What about from the Queen of England? The governor or whoever, maybe? Whoever you deem as being great, some of the greatest people in the world, ever extend you a personal invitation? Not included in that, maybe. Not on the list. That's okay. I tell you what, the Lord, the greatest of all, who has all power in heaven and in earth, He said, come unto me all, and that includes me. He included me. Have you thought about that? In Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 24, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, who? Any man. Any man. Any man can come after the Lord. Oh, there's some people in life who'll tell you that not any man can do this. Oh, no, you can't do that. You're not the right class. You don't have the right whatever. You're not qualified. You're not included in that. The Lord included every man. In Mark 8 and verse 34, and this is the text beneath the song title that stimulated this lesson today. He included me. Remember what Mark recorded? How that Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, whosoever, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He included me. John 6:45 declares this statement, how that It is written in the prophets, a quote from Isaiah 54:13, and they shall be all taught of God. All. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Every man has the opportunity to hear and to come to the Lord. Every. All. Then look at this statement, John 7:37. As Jesus stood and cried, saying, and you see him standing, crying, and saying, what do you say? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Any man. That included me. Then finally, Revelation 22 and verse 17. John said, what did he say? The last invitation, if you will. Whosoever will. Whosoever meaneth me. He included me. Maybe you get down on yourself. You get to looking at yourself and your faults and your failures, your sins and your transgressions and your iniquities. Don't ever forget he included me. That ought to mean something to you. And as the song says, it ought to cause us to be happy. You get to thinking people have excluded me because of my race or because of my beliefs, because of the color of my skin, because I don't have as much money as some people might have, or education. I'm not included. I want you to realize he included you, that he included me. But sometimes we are told we need to be more inclusive. There are those that preach a lot about inclusion, but a lot of times they do that to the exclusion of us. They want to include everybody but us. We're kind of excluded from that. That's ironic, isn't it? But sometimes those who preach inclusion exclude us. The Lord doesn't operate that way. I want to suggest to you that there are none who believe in inclusion any more than we do. That's why we sometimes sing the song, "The Kingdoms of Earth Pass Away," which says, "The kingdom of God is now open to all. Even the vilest may now enter in. There's a welcome for all who will turn to the Lord. Full salvation and pardon for sin." That invitation is extended to all to turn from their sin and accept the Lord's pardon and salvation. He included me. And if we can assist you today in coming to Jesus, believing on Him, having heard His Word, repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, to be buried with Him in baptism, we stand ready to assist you in that. If you've obeyed the gospel but you've not been faithful, you need to repent of wrongdoing, you need to ask for God's forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. In fact, His blood is able to cleanse us from all sin. 1 John 1:9. Won't you come? Always stand and sing the song.